Welcome to the K&B Chat.
We're your hosts. I am Kelsey Smith.
And I am Brittany Carroll. This is a weekly podcast about analyzing different crisis situations involving organizations and public figures.
Since this is our last episode, we decided to get some information from a pro, Dr. Linda Gretton, who is a communication professor at High Point University, and she was able to provide us with some helpful crisis communication
advice.
We
are sitting here today with Dr. Linda Gretton, who is a professor here at High Point University. She's a communication professor, and we just appreciate you taking the time out today, Dr. Gretton, to talk to us about your experience with crisis communication. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. I'm really appreciating this, and it's always fun to get to talk in a little different environment than just being in the classroom. So thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So Dr. Gretton, just to start us off, can you give us a little bit of information about yourself and your communication background, as well as how you started teaching? And how long have you been teaching?
That's a lot of questions. I'll take them one at a time. My communication background, it's everything that I've done has always been in communications. My bachelor's degree was in broadcasting and film, so I did a lot of communication in terms of media. My master's degree was in professional writing, so I had a lot of communications experience in doing writing. And then for my PhD, ended up really focusing in on rhetoric and composition, and it sounds like a lot more complicated than what it is. Basically, it's taking a look at how we communicate, how we're using language, and the study of what language does. So all of those things really came together in terms of my academic background. In terms of the professional world, I've been working in communication for many years for a number of different industries. Started out in the aerospace industry, working for General Electric.
Oh, okay.
Well, first RCA and then General Electric. Had a lot of communication experience working in the area of mergers and acquisitions, because uh-huh. companies back then were buying one another, and mm-hmm. all of that merger nervousness on the part of the employees who are working there. People had to understand what was going on.
Right.
And so a lot of my job was employee communications. From there, started working in external communications, working with the media. And then, of course, that brings you into investor relations, mm-hmm. Government relations. And with that comes, obviously, crisis communication.
Right.
And so you asked me also about teaching. After many years in the corporate world, decided that, part of the real reason was I wanted to be a mom. And in the corporate world, maybe your listeners will want to know this, but it's, you know, you're putting in about 70 hours a week,
right.
which is really tough when you're trying to be a mom to a young kid.
Right.
And so I tried working part-time, but the better solution for me was to go into the academic world. And I got an opportunity from Elon University and worked there for 3 years in their communication department, and then had the opportunity to come over to High Point University full-time.
Wonderful.
And I've been here 4 years now, so it's 7 years in academia. I can hardly believe it.
All right, that's wonderful. Okay, so next, so we just wanted to know if you could maybe elaborate a little bit more on like your different crisis communication management experience that you've had.
Sure. I mean, you can define crises in so many different ways. I mean, we can talk about the Paula Deen kind of crisis or the Donald Sterling kind of crisis, where people are really in the spotlight. They're
right.
in the media. Most of the time corporate environment, these crises are a lot more low-key, but they're still crises because they affect your organization.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you talk about, well, we've got a merger between two companies, it's not a traditional kind of crisis that you would read about today,
right.
on Facebook or on Twitter, but it is a crisis of sorts, depending upon how it's handled. I would say that in my experience, the things that have caused us the most, the most heartburn coming from the pharmaceutical world have been protesters who have been very concerned about how animals are treated in the pharmaceutical industry, mm-hmm. to the point at which we actually have picketers outside our front door.
Oh, wow.
And this can lead to concern in terms of how are we being perceived in the immediate community? Are we being a good neighbor? Mm-hmm. Do people even want a pharmaceutical company here if they're going to be picketers, protesters, etc.? So we have to handle this pretty delicately. And part of the thing about the use of animals in the pharmaceutical environment is that that a lot of this is actually prescribed by the government. There are specific regulatory requirements that the government requires pharmaceutical companies to use animals for toxicity testing, to make sure that new drugs are not carcinogenic or cancer-causing. So some of these things are really out of our hands. They're prescribed by law. Nonetheless, we have to deal with protesters who believe that animals have rights.
Right.
And this goes on today. Even today, there are a lot of things going on in terms of crisis. There was there's something coming up about the Super Bowl, where GoDaddy they were going to do an ad for the Super Bowl where they showed a dog that was lost and it came back. And then the kicker was, oh, we're so glad, little buddy, that you came back to our farm because we just sold you on GoDaddy. Uh-huh. And all of these people who are very much for animal rights and believing that animals shouldn't be bought, they shouldn't be sold, in fact, they shouldn't even be pets. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who really strongly believe this. Mm-hmm. So the kind of people who belong to PETA, the people for ethical treatment of animals, these are the folks that we're dealing with in the pharmaceutical industry. So some of the people who are very, very strident will never reach them.
Mm-hmm.
But for many other people, what we do try to do in terms of crisis communication is just sort of to reduce the immediate flare-up of what's going on. And the best way to do that is through ongoing communication, through trying to get across the fact that we do have a plan, that we do respect animals, that we're trying to reduce the number of animals, that we're trying to refine the kinds of tests that we use for animals,
right.
That we're trying to replace, that working with the government wherever we can, replace the use of animals with computer models. So the idea is if you can do the ethical thing, if you can communicate the ethical thing, then you can diffuse the crisis situation.
Right.
So based on what you just talked about, one of the questions we have is, when you're in a crisis situation, what are the steps you take? How do you work with your team to solve the issue?
Okay, and team is a really good word to use here because honestly, anytime anything happens within an organization, everybody gets involved. Because if you're reading about that company in the newspaper the next day, every single person who is associated in any way with that company is somehow brought into this crisis,
right.
Whether you're being asked by your neighbor or somebody next door. So I think the very first thing to do is to get together the people who are most directly involved in something, to go ahead and get your facts, get your figures straight. The question is, if it's a crisis, is it a crisis because you actually did something wrong? If you did something wrong, why did you do something wrong? Is it a crisis because it's a mistake? It's that you were misinterpreted, that you meant to do right, but it was somehow misinterpreted. Why is this a crisis? And rather
right.
than being defensive, when you're getting your team together, what you really want to do is you want to ask your team, let's lay it out all on the table. Here we are as a team. What are exactly are we talking about? Where have things gone wrong? That's
right.
the very first step. And then, of course, you know, William Benoit, who has published so many things about crisis communication, who we use in our crisis communication classes, has a number of different pieces of advice. Whether people in industry know it or not, they actually end up using this. And some of this is, did you do it or did you not do it? If you did do it, what are you going to do about that? What steps are you going to take?
Right.
How are you going to prevent from doing it again?
Right.
Are you going to change the way you do things? Are you going to fix whatever it is that went wrong? If people were hurt, are you going to help them? Are you going to give them any kind of reparation, any money? And you have to be very careful about these decisions because sometimes some things can seem so ham-handed. You know, when the Costa Concordia went down in Italy, one of the first things that came out from that crisis was the fact that they were, and you know, it, just to remind the people listening, is people lost their lives. I think that there were, you know, dozens who lost their lives there. Mm-hmm. And then it came out in the newspaper that the cruise line was going to be offering people free cruises,
right,
and money off their next cruises, which seems so heartless.
Yeah.
You know, people are dying. People don't want to hear this right now. Why are you even talking about this? You know, so timing is important as well. So all of these things in terms of, you know, how did this happen? Why did it happen? What can we do to fix ourselves? You know, do we need to issue an apology?
Right.
Have we done something wrong? And if you haven't done something wrong, how do you state your case without seeming defensive? So many nuances in this particular kind of situation. But team is an important thing because everybody's going to bring a different perspective depending upon where they are in the corporation. And you need to listen to all your people.
Right. I remember from your crisis communication class, you know, we learned a lot in there, which was one of my favorite classes. And I remember, you know, there's like different levels to crisis. You know, some crises are minor, some of them are like major. And another thing was, you know, at the end of the semester when we had to do our communication strategic action plan, when a lot of people were presenting, it was interesting to me that it seemed like a lot of companies, they were not prepared. They mm-hmm. did not have anything in place. So I think too that corporations or any kind of business, they need to have some kind of plan in place that you can go to.
Oh, absolutely, because there's no company in the world that says, oh, today I think we'll invent something that's going to get us into big trouble.
Right.
People, you don't do that. You don't go into business thinking, well, I really want to try to offend someone today.
Right.
Or I really want to try to mess up.
Right.
You don't do that. And you think, well, as long as we're a good company, as long as we do what we need to do, this isn't going to happen to us. But that's naive, because just like bad things happen to good people, mm-hmm. bad things happen to good organizations.
Yeah, they do.
And through, you know, whether it's your quote unquote fault or not, you're drawn into these things. And because you're drawn into these things, you have to have a plan.
Absolutely.
And just like we did in our class, to be able to say, what kinds of things possibly could go wrong? You know, let's think about this. Where are our risks?
Right.
What might happen if we are a company that specializes in cutting people's hair and giving them perms?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about possibly people being, you know, their scalps being burned,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, bad word getting out. And today, now we've got social media.
Right.
Bad word can spread so fast.
It really
so
can.
Fast. And that's the other thing about now versus, I don't know, 10 years, even 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
is that the ability to respond, you've got to get that team together,
mm-hmm.
and you can't be thinking about these things for a week.
Right.
You've got to take action pretty quickly, and you've got to be pretty sure that the action you're taking is pretty right, pretty spot on.
Another question we have for you was, so in our past podcast episodes, we've talked about different crises. And in our last episode, episode 3, we discussed the Donald Sterling racial slur controversy. So we were just wondering.
Poor Donald Sterling.
I know. We wanted to know what you thought about that whole thing.
Well, I think the thing is, to do appropriate and credible crisis communication, you have to realize that there's a crisis.
Absolutely.
And I think with Donald Sterling and some of the unfortunate remarks that he made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's the owner of the LA Clippers, and he comes out and he makes some remarks about what kind of people ought to be attending his games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming across as very racist. And a lot of people were highly, highly offended. But yet, here's a man who never seemed to get it.
Mm-hmm.
People would say to him, you know, you need to issue an apology. And every time he would open his mouth, it just got worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said this because I wanted to impress my girlfriend, because I wanted to sleep with her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, this even gets worse than where we were 5 minutes ago.
Right.
So, if you're going to try to get, first of all, it's an acknowledgement and a really understanding of what have you done? Where have you gone wrong?
Mm-hmm.
If someone doesn't get it, like Donald Sterling, that very first step is going to be really hard. Assuming that you do get it and you do understand, you've made a terrible error. You know,
yeah.
everybody opens their mouth and says something wrong. So you have to understand, did you just open your mouth? This is not what you wanted to say. Let's get it straightened out pretty quickly. Let's try to do it. So you have to have this level of understanding of what is the crisis? What have I done wrong?
Absolutely.
And then address it from there and pretty quickly. But Donald Sterling, he never really got it. And bad went to worse, went to absolute rock bottom, where, you know, the man is just, his credibility was completely in the basement. And probably in the sub-basement.
Yeah, I mean, and now it's really affected his career. I mean, because he's no longer, the owner of the L.A. Clippers.
He's lost that. Yeah. I mean, I think he's still a billionaire.
Right.
So I'm not going to cry too much for him.
Right.
but he's lost that sense of prestige, perhaps,
right,
that he had. And the other thing, too, is with companies, as with people, not only are you losing prestige, but companies are things you need to be proud of.
Right.
What do we stand for? What is our brand? Mm-hmm. You don't want to lose that.
Right.
You really don't. Brands take an awful long time to build up. And if you lose that brand, if you diminish that, tarnish it in any way, climbing back to where you were pre-crisis can be very difficult.
Right, absolutely.
Well, speaking of hitting rock bottom, one topic that we'd love to have your opinion on as well is the Bill Cosby scandal going on right now. Now, to my knowledge, he hasn't really addressed the issue. Does he have any saving graces in this whatsoever to rebrand himself after all of this is over?
Well, Bill Cosby, his strategy has been to listen to his lawyers and to keep quiet. Mm-hmm. Don't say a thing. We're not going to comment. But the problem is, when you start getting accuser after accuser after accuser, and we're up now past a dozen.
Count. Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
we're
at least.
At least. Then people start to say, well, now there's an awful lot of smoke. You know, there must be a fire. And when you still keep the same strategy and it's not working, and
right,
you see that it's not working, it's time to rethink your strategy.
Right.
Okay? The problem, I think, is if you stay quiet, people think that you're hiding something. Okay? And mm-hmm, that's just the truth in crisis communications. You don't say something, well, what are you hiding? You don't want to, it's like, people think you don't open your mouth because you're going to say something incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Do I know whether Bill Cosby, is guilty of what he's done or not done? How would I know unless I was presented with evidence? But the fact is, in the court of public opinion, which is what we're talking about, it doesn't look good for him.
Right.
It doesn't look good, because why would 12, professional women who have quite a bit to lose in terms of their personal reputations, why would ordinary women come forward and chime in with something like this? And without anything else from the other side, the only voices that we're hearing are those of the accusers. And those, therefore, are the only voices that will matter, because we're hearing silence. And it doesn't seem like it's a strategy that's working for him.
No, yeah, I totally agree that it's just weird that, he hasn't said anything.
A word, not one word.
Right. So, Dr. Gretton, what advice or tips would you give to any communication majors who are thinking about pursuing a career in crisis management?
Well, I think crisis management is not really a field unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that crisis, I don't think there are a lot of people who say, hey, I'm applying for a job with crisis management at
right,
your company. It really is something that goes along with so many other things that you need to do for a company. And companies want people to have so many skills. You know me, I'm always one for, you better be a good writer.
Right.
Okay. To be a good writer, you have to be a good thinker. You have to do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
You have to practice writing. You have to really look over what you've done and make sure. Companies really, really want those good writers. So as part of this job, be a good writer, be a good thinker, learn how to be strategic, learn how to think about the big picture. And that's all part and parcel of public relations, a public relations job. If you're lucky, you'll do your crisis communication plan and you'll never really have to implement it. But you never know if you will.
Right.
If you do have to at some point implement it, then it's a matter of being on your toes, just learning by doing. And just keeping your head about you, just keeping calm no matter what happens. Always keep calm, rely on the people who are around you, and never take decisions that just feel bad in the pit of your stomach. I used to have a colleague, and she'd say, if it feels bad in your tummy, it's the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you can see what you're doing on page one of the newspaper tomorrow, or in this, you know, in the modern age now, on the website tomorrow, right, or some or the news site tomorrow, and you don't like what you foresee that it'll be, then it's probably the wrong decision.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Gretton. We really appreciate you giving the time to talk
with us.
It's been
fun.
We've learned so much about crisis communication, and I hope our listeners can take some of what they've learned today with them and in the future when they're dealing with any kind of crisis. Hopefully they won't have to deal with one, but chances are when you're in communication, you'll have a few. But thank you again for your time, and we look forward to...
You look forward to graduating and putting all of this into practice.
Absolutely. Enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Gretton because it was nice to hear the opinion of someone who had experienced crisis situations in the real world and to hear how she would have handled it, you know, if she had been working on the case. This also corresponded with a lot of our previous podcast episodes.
Yeah, it did. Well, Brittany, I have greatly enjoyed our mini podcasting series, and I hope all of our listeners have been able to take valuable information from other people's mistakes so that they know how to properly handle different crisis situations.
For one last time, we'd like to thank Kevin McLeod at Incop Tech for our awesome music, Sidewalk Shade, and our really cool professor, Brad Lambert from High Point University, for all of our great feedback.
As well as High Point University for their amazing audio lab. Well, that's a wrap for the K&B chat. Take care.